Welcome, everybody. I spoke with Father today, and Jesus, they all send their love as they always do, and I give you my peace. Father had much to say. Like I said, I don't think this meeting is going to be longer than about 30 minutes. Here's what he said. My dearest Team Triland, many hearts have been turned inside out as of late. I greet you now with peace. Sometime, souls make choices without really understanding all that it takes to complete and fulfill a task. Those who have left us, or that were removed, lie under this circumstance. They were our friends, sisters. As they left, they took with them little pieces of our hearts. We would feel nothing for them if we did not love them. This time now is a brutal time. There is more evil active now than at any other time. You can see it all over the world, and you can certainly feel it. I know that some of you are afraid. My son Triland expressed his fears to me, and it is perfectly normal to fear. Jesus even feared his lot. What is important is that you do not give up, as the others have, and walk away. I believe in my heart this team is strong and will remain until this task is complete. The question I pose to all of you is this. Do you believe it? We have lost many from this team. Triland would tell you 9 as of Lauren's departure. Much love, time, and effort was given to all of these, and when it mattered the most for them to stand strong, they fell. What is disappointing to me is that they did not get back up. Beloved, I can tell you that some of you will feel as though you have fallen. It is of the utmost now that you get back up and keep going. Do you think that I will not help you? Do you feel I will not aid you in what is needed? I will tell you that my son and I need all of you, even more now than ever before. The tide of destruction and change is in motion. It will touch the whole world. You are a vital part of my plan. I did not choose you so you would feel comfortable, and when difficult decisions and times come, you would give up and leave. I chose you once again because I know all of you can do impossible. Come now and see all that you have personally done with what I have given you. Look back at the souls. All of you have helped so selflessly. Out of love, you have served them and helped change their circumstance by using the gifts I gave you. I love all of you. I will be very honest with you now. The time will grow tougher, darker, and even feel bleak at times. But you, Team Triland, are the beacon lights that will shine into the darkness and chase away the evil. The whole world will know you by the names I have given you because you are blessed and holy. I have sanctified all of you for this task. You are surprised to hear these words. All I am asking of you is for you to have faith in me. Put your trust in my plan and support my son, Triland. I do not think that is too much to ask of you. Have you ever invested love, time, and sacrificed part of your life in order to teach or help someone, only to see them in the future throw away all of it? My sons and I have certainly experienced this numerous times. Free will is one of the most precious gifts I can give man outside of life, and very few understand that. You understand that. Your hearts burn right now. You are telling yourselves, I would never leave the Lord, and that is good. I will give you more strength, more courage, and open your hearts and understanding even more now. My hand is fierce in battle. I have watched all of you. Nucleus, soon this will happen for you as well. In battle, all of you are fierce. You fear nothing that is in front of you. Many have stood up and opposed Satan himself. Did you ever think you would have the courage to do that? I gave you that courage. You have fought Satan's armies and defeated them. You have removed evil from souls around you. You defend and protect them. You are all so brave. Then, when you are alone, Satan comes and tells you that all of this is not real. It is merely a lie or a fabrication. and you are delusional if you really think that Tryland is the Lord's second son. You will just be another fool. Beloved, Satan does not change either. He has been using these same tactics forever. And would you like to know why? Because they still work. Mankind listens more to him than me. Free will, free will, free will. I have not forced you into this task. My son and I have asked you. He has been very open with all of you. He has at times even discouraged you to not take this position. But because of the love and respect you have for him and me, you chose. I need you. My son needs you, and I will give you this promise. I will help all of you complete this task, even in times when you think it is completely hopeless. Look into the scriptures. These men and women knew hopeless better than anyone, and I brought them through, did I not? I keep my word and my promises, and now I'm asking you to keep yours. I know that some of what I put you through at times is anything but pleasant. I do it to teach and prepare you for the future. My son tells me all the time that he will never appreciate my processes, but he still goes through them. One day, he may not even complain. Yes, a father can wish. I do. I can tell you that... I can tell you that all that has transpired with this team as of late has vexed my son greatly. Jesus and I have held him many times as he has broken down, his heart shattered. And he tells me that all he did for these souls was for nothing. Please do not take my son for granted. He is just as human as all of you. He cries over all of you as he pleads with me to keep all of you and your family safe. He always asks me to give all of you extra strength. And when you reach out to him about a problem, a moment later, Tryland is standing in front of me pleading for you. He loves all of you just as much as I do. And we do not take you for granted either. We all need each other. And we will all succeed together until this task is done and Jesus' bride is with us. I will always give you what you need and give you a little extra because I can. I will always be your loving father and protector. Now, get to work. And then Father kind of smiled at me. And I looked at him and I went, that's it? And he went, that's plenty. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Kira reached out to me about a month ago and told me that she was going in for surgery on the 24th of March. They removed two cysts as large as an egg, one from her ovary and the other one from her lower abdomen, and they found out they are not cancerous. And while they were in there, they found her appendix was so swollen, so they removed that as well. I texted her last week. She's recovering nicely. I would ask everyone to remember her, and if you feel inspired to send her a text or an email, please do so. She is still our sister. I was in Kalamazoo a couple weeks ago, and we all know that Lauren stepped down. And when I shook Lauren's hand, all I felt was regret, remorse, and confusion. My heart was telling me that I don't even think she understood why she stepped down. So Brilliant and I... I've had a couple conversations, and I told Brilliance that when her heart feels right, that it's the right time to contact Lauren to tell her that I'm willing to let her back on the team. I am only extending this offer to her because she seems confused. So we're going to wait and see what happens. Brilliance has been up to her own eyeballs with her own life and job, and I know Father told me that it is my choice, so he won't interfere with that, but... if I see Lauren this weekend, I might pull her aside, but I know she's very uncomfortable about all of this, and that's okay. I don't think she realizes that we don't hold anything against anybody that leaves. It's not an easy task with what we're doing. It's not for everybody, apparently, and that's okay. So we'll see what happens. I just wanted to point out that we need to stay focused. It seems as of late that we're kind of in a little bit of a lull and not a lot of stuff is happening on the spiritual front. I'll say we all have our personal life. that seems to be rearing its ugly head and causing us all issues in many different ways. And that's okay. So then we can at least deal with one thing at a time. So I want to just make sure that everybody under me understands the team's purpose. Again, I'm going to remind you that our first task is to protect the bride of Christ, is to defend the apostles' doctrine, which is the apostles' creed, and help bring the bride home. And how do we protect the bride of Christ? Simply by what we're doing in the congregations when we bind and sweep on a Sunday. If someone comes across our path and needs help, we extend that to them, as Father said. And then what is it to defend the apostles' doctrine? This world is under the impression that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're good to go, that you don't need apostles, that you don't need to follow what they teach. If a conversation ever comes up where someone says that, then it is expected of you and I to step in and go, well, wait a minute. And I usually lead this way. Does God change? And the people will go, well, no, he's consistent in everything. Well, if he started his church with apostles, you don't think he's going to finish it, then that leads into numerous ways to bring about the new apostolic church. And then help bring the bride home. We do that when we're doing what our job is. And then it will become more defined for us down the road when I get announced and the apostles are in place and everything's moving forward. Then Father will give us even more detail. Does anybody have any questions about what our purpose is?
Not necessarily a question about our purpose, but okay. When people ask about our faith and why we believe and what we believe in, me, myself, and I personally have a tough time recalling things on the spot. I mean, my heart rate skyrockets, and I can feel myself get flush, and I've noticed that even though I'm grounded, it still affects me.
Okay.
So I know I need to probably start working on it in meditation somehow and start praying about it, obviously. But it's just always been something I'm not good at, recalling stuff on the spot like that. So, I mean, I still have a good understanding, but it's hard for me to call it forward when I need to.
Okay.
May I make a, may I make a suggestion? Because I, too, do much better in the one-on-one setting, and so but when there's a bunch of people around, you know, and you got a bunch of people talking and a bunch of different ideas, I used to, too, just get that, like, oh, my gosh, I have so much to tell. Like, where do I start? And what worked for me, I'm going to say to, like, organize my messaging, because that sounds like a sales term, and I'm sorry, I'm a sales rep, so this is not selling someone, because God calls his children. But what worked for me to kind of calm me down, because my energy is a whole lot for even me sometimes, is to start talking about my personal experiences. Because faith is something personal. It begins with something personal. And again, God calls his children, and that's enormous grace and mercy right there. You know, in addition to the sacrifice that's, you know, afforded for us in his own son. What I would start with is my personal experiences with faith. Because that's something that somebody can't, because sometimes when you're in a group of people, at least for me, it was, oh, my gosh, if I just go straight into the doctrine, then I'm what if I'm opening myself up to an attack and people that are more scriptured than me in this? And I found a way for me to slow down my energy and prepare myself and get myself in that energy, in that oneness with who I am, what I am, how I was called. I start with my own personal experience. Because no one can argue with my own personal experience and my own calling. They may not, ironically, I used to think, well, they may not relate to them, but they can't attack me on them. And I never had the experience where people ever attacked me on my own personal experiences. And as I explained to them how my walk of faith was, where I was born into the New Apostolic Church and found myself in darkness and God himself intervened to bring me back, it's like it slowed down my energy, got me calmer, got me in that moment, and then from there, I could talk about what it is that I believe, that our faith, what's incorporated in our faith as a new apostolic. I'm just sharing with you, not saying that you have to do it this way. I used to have that same issue in it when there was like three or more people wanting to, I don't know if they argue, but they wanted to talk about belief, and I found it to be really beneficial, so I just wanted to share that in case it helps anybody else.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and I appreciate that. It tends to come; these things tend to come more from people inside the church than it does outside the church, anyways. At this point in time.
Oh,
you know, if I could add something to that, you know, many times when we're talking with people, and they ask us, well, if they're looking for something, unless we really know what they're looking for, we might not be able to give it. And so a really nice thing to do is take a step back right then and simply ask another question or ask a question. When they are looking for something, say, well, okay, so tell me specifically, what are your thoughts or what do you think about that? And then let them talk. And as they're talking, then Holy Spirit can help us formulate where we should go with this individual. Because the thing that we all have to realize is that everyone is coming across our path for specific reasons. And we have to let it happen. Not make it happen, but let it happen. And you'll be amazed at how when you kind of not deflect, but just kind of open it up and just let them talk a little bit more, then you see the picture bigger in terms of what they're looking for, and then Father will always give us the right words and the right way to go. And sometimes it's very little, and sometimes it's a lot.
You know, and to your point, if somebody asks, I guess, one of my questions would be, yeah, helpful is, I assumed, and I apologize, that these were individuals of different faiths. So in the New Apostolic faith, can you give an example of a question? Because I think Quasar's on to something where if somebody asks a question, oftentimes if you ask them a question back, because someone came up to me in the New Apostolic Faith and says, why do you believe in the New Apostolic Faith? To give myself and the Holy Spirit a chance to enact, my first reaction would be a question. It would be, oh my gosh, there's so many reasons. What specifically do you want to know? Like, who invited me? How long I've been new, you know, like to qualify that question. One, because sometimes people ask the question that they're not even sure why they're asking it. And so if you ask them a question back, just to qualify it, not disrespectfully, but more so, oh my gosh, I got so much to tell you. You want to know who invited me, how I started, how long I've been new apostolic, but what exactly, you know, God's my favorite subject. Let's talk about it. What is it that you want to, you know, what specifically do you want to know? It can give that time for the Holy Spirit to begin moving your heart. Is there a specific question that somebody's asked you that seems to be the most uncomfortable?
No, not necessarily a specific question that anybody's asked. It's just been different circumstances, especially in small groups. Of the times that I've gone, there's been times where it's been easy to give an answer because the Holy Spirit's been right there and you can just feel it, it just comes out. But then I think what happens is I get in the way of Him and I get flustered, especially when somebody starts pressing me for answers. And I guess that's where I've just always personally had a problem getting flustered and knowing what to say, and I usually try to just deflect it and remove myself from the conversation as a whole because I know I'm no good to myself or to them at that point.
Well, and don't be afraid to assert your, you know, just say, wow, that's a really good question. Can I just have a few minutes to, you know, to meditate or think on that? Because that's such a great question. I want to make sure that I return a thoughtful answer. Because in small groups, sometimes when I go, I don't always have a chance to prepare as much as I'd like to. And so when they're going around, when they'll be like, Sister Jablonski, what do you think about this? And I didn't get a chance to read the whole material. But it's not that the Holy Spirit can't offer. I mean, we're human beings. We're like-hearted, like-minded. We're worshiping and praising and learning here. Sometimes, you know, I've used that too. I've had to say, that is such a great question. Can I just have a little bit more time? Can we let someone else go first so that I really want to collect my thoughts before I answer? Because I can sense what you're saying because it's happened to me too.
Right, and I guess the other issue too is that sometimes you get conflicting views inside of that, and then they kind of once you establish like a confliction, you know that there's a confliction in the views of the question or whatever your answers to the question. Things tend to want to get ramped up. And so trying to keep that from happening, too, is sometimes not easy.
True.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Thank you, everyone, for throwing your 2 cents in there. Let's see. When I was up in Canada a couple weeks ago, Tom said to me he's still feeling as though he's being held back. I gave him an energy healing. There's nothing demonic there. And I said he should probably reach out to the apostle to see if maybe there's something binding you that needs to be removed because of sin or something else. But I didn't find anything demonic. He sent the apostle an email. He didn't hear back from him. I sent the apostle an email. He responded to me that, yes, he did get Tom's email. But for now, as far as I know, Tranquility, you can tell us, has he contacted him yet?
I didn't contact him yet because yesterday was like a big service for us. And so it took every ounce of Tom's energy. So he's really crashed big time today. So I figured when he calls, I would want Tom to be able to speak to him rather than me being his voice. So I'm just going to wait until he perks up a little bit. He was at the church helping prepare for the retirement for Priest Bagnall.
Right.
And so he bought the gifts and food, and then he ended up being at the church at 6 o'clock and played the organ until 9:30. So he really, really overdid it, and Satan took advantage of it too. So I'm just biding my time, but if by the weekend I haven't heard anything, then I will send Apostle Olofsky another email.
Okay. Great.
I also get the sense, I get the impression, you know how the first time when he helped us out so tremendously, he's I know he's thinking about it. I just get that impression that he's trying to mull this whole thing over. Like he told us the last time he got his inspiration when he was walking the dog, right? He said, I don't know why, what is it that, why Jim can't help him? How do I come into place? And that's where he got the inspiration that it was something that was attached to sin, and that's why you couldn't help, but that's why it was, you know, the apostle's job that he would be able to help. So the impression that I'm getting right now is that he is really mulling this over, and then, like I said, if I haven't heard by the weekend, then I will definitely, definitely contact him.
Okay. Please keep us posted.
Yeah, I definitely will, yeah. I will, for sure.
Okay.
I would ask him to walk the dog again soon.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, I don't really know his schedule, so I'm not even sure if he's, like, does he travel overseas at all?
Sometimes.
Does he travel a lot?
Mostly domestic. He travels all over the country. He's got everything but California, pretty much, and the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
But he's got the Midwest from, Kalamazoo, out to Colorado, Texas, south, so the middle part of the country.
Okay.
Only, you know, 30 states or so.
Wow. So it could, you know, it could be even that he's just kind of overwhelmed himself, but I will, yeah, I think so. And I always believe that when the timing's right, that he will. Just because things have happened in such a wonderful way. I'm not sure if any of you know, but my son Andrew was actually ordained rector of the congregation that we go to last night. So on the one hand, it's, you know, like it's a great blessing. It's a big responsibility, a big commitment that he's made, considering he's only 26, right? Not married yet. But also Satan takes full advantage, like right up until the time before we're going to leave for service. There was a lot of strife, and I was telling my team, you know, ground, and I was pogging and doing everything that I could. But, I mean, Satan just had his hooks in all of us and was trying to rob us of our peace and our blessing. And Tom has said that the more that he does the work, which he loves to do, and he says he will not stop now that he's been healed, that he will continue, but he said always the day after or the few days afterwards he gets punished for it. He pays dearly for it. So That's why I thought, okay, I'll just wait until the weekend, give him time to recuperate a little bit, and then I'll contact the apostle again. But thank you for all your prayers. I really do appreciate them.
You are very welcome. Okay, the last thing we want to discuss is Trisus met with Jesus about his health, and Jesus spoke to Trisus, and take it away, Trisus.
I've been asking over the last few months since the healing of Saul. So at that time with Stacy and Sydney, I got the impression and can feel that the disease itself was gone. I've been better, but I'm getting quite weak to the point where I fell again. Not badly, just I felt like a turtle, fell in the bedroom. But I couldn't stand up. Jim had to help me, like deadlift me and get me up. So I've been asking on my visits with Jesus, like, what's going on here? Where, you know, I have faith, but it seems like I'm missing something. Not that I don't value the time. He runs energy through me and do that a couple times a week. And he said, I was wondering when you were going to ask me about this in the inevitable fashion. I'm like, oh, okay. He revealed that Atmos will be doing healing to activate whatever in the body physically that needs to start healing. So yes, the disease is gone, but what's left is ashes. What's left is muscles that can't regenerate. The healing function in a normal body is gone. That's why I've been getting weaker. So I'm not getting any worse, but I'm not getting any stronger. And he said that I should ask Atmos for healing. And I have, and we've arranged that. And even since then, he said, what's necessary is that Atmos do the healing, one, to feel part of the team, and to finalize it, sort of to put a cap on the top, to make the body whole. So that's what's going to happen. So he's going to be here in a couple of weeks with his beloved, and we're going to sit and chit-chat and get strong. And I've been trying to get my head around it, as with Tom. And I sent him an email. Susan, I don't know if he got it or not. He doesn't respond, which is fine, but you know, I can liken to what he's doing. You know, we know we're healed. We have a faith. But sometimes it takes a while for the results. And, I tease Father, of course, about being patient. And I've learned that lesson, I thought. But I got trial in a couple times, and I tease. I'm like, I pray, help me with my unbelief, right? We all talk about that. How, you know, it's been a journey. So I'm excited. I have plans. I look at my bike every morning. It's the first thing I touch, and it's the last thing I try not to trip over every day as I go to bed, and I keep it there on purpose. So, with that, we'll ask for your prayers, too. Carolyn, what's the date? Is that the 28th that we're doing this on? It's Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that Apostle Orlovsky told Tom, and Trilin told Tom this, too, that you have to allow time for your body to, like, it won't just instantly, you won't be better instantly, right? It takes a while, even though you've been healed. And also, your body has been feeling this way for so long that after a while, your body kind of thinks that that's normal. And it resists being well, as crazy as that sounds, right? But it's just been that way for so long that it's going to take time for it to relearn what it's like to actually be normal and to be well again.
Right. Well, and the reason why I brought it up, and again, I understand that, but I'm getting to the point of Well, I leave once a week, and even at that, I can't really drive. I'm at a point where if I get any weaker, I won't be able to work. If I get any weaker, I can't drive. If I can barely take care of myself. If I wasn't living with Trylin here, I would be needing a nurse or a visitor of some sort. So he's been my hand. So that's where the reality was slowly slipping in every day. You know, what are we doing here? Again, we're not questioning why, but at some point, and again, it was a question that had to be asked, right? If I didn't ask, then Atmos wouldn't be doing this healing. So that's a good thing for him.
For sure, we'll pray for you.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that's all I have.
Okay, Atmos, if you'd like to tell us, share with us what's been going on for the healing.
Sure. When I was asked and told what was going on, I was like, oh, okay. I'm kind of a rookie, but I will definitely do it. So the first thing that came to mind was, okay, I need to get in absolutely all the practice, for lack of a better word, that I can between now and then to make sure that I'm as good as I can be and then that I'm feeling the energy that Father's giving me and that things happen the way He needs them to happen when I'm there. Even though, you know, I've become a healer, since I've become at most 100%, I haven't given a single healing. Nobody's asked. I need to start reaching out to probably close friends and family. So I'm going to start doing that in practice more. So that kind of worried me. So one of the things I did was when I was meditating a couple of weeks ago, I asked the Archangel Raphael if he could help me hone my healing skills, essentially. And it was something that Father allowed and that Raphael was able to do. And the first time I meditated, I was going to give myself a healing. It went into the center of my mind and essentially went to a field on a small pond, and Raphael sat me down and he said, this is how you will learn. Your team's going to give you a healing first, and I'm going to walk you through it step by step and show you things you haven't seen before when you've given healing. So that was my first experience with him working through a healing. And again, I felt like I wasn't in a good enough place to do what was asked of me, and that Atmos just doesn't have what he needs to do what he's been asked to do, because it just seemed like a really big deal to me, and I'm like, okay, how do we even go about this? I'm too new at this to know I'm doing things correct. You know, it's just, there was a lot of doubt and unbelief there still, to be honest. But after that first healing with Raphael, he walked me through it and really showed me a few things, like I said, that I hadn't seen before. So I have to work with him again yet this week, and hopefully get one more time in yet before we head to Chicago for the healing. But the biggest thing for me was I just want to make sure that this is done the way Father needs it to be, as it always should be, of course. It just hasn't been easy for me to really kind of grasp the healing, because I'm kind of like, I can't see a lot. I see some things, but not a lot, not like others. So for me, I feel like I'm not getting everything that I should be getting and giving everything I should be giving. But then again, that's just Jeremy getting in the way of Atmos, I suppose. So he's kind of putting life in there. Yeah, it's to be honest with you, it's easier to see in others than it is yourself. And then once you experience it in yourself, it's like, oh crap, how do I overcome this? How do I get out of the way of what he needs to have happen? And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've been learning here during my meditation sessions here lately, especially, is getting out of Father's way so that Atmos can do what Atmos needs to do.
Thank you. can't emphasize this enough. Make sure you always have your magic beans with you. They are the source of everything. Okay.
Well, and I'll, can I add something? Because I, man, you and I are cut from the same cloth. I remember when I first became a healer and I hadn't done healing, so my first healing was on a teammate. My second healing was on the, well, Supplanter, now Triland. And nothing like to shake a girl down than to, you know, give your first healing to another healer with Supplanter at that time, now Triland, staring at you, one who can see everything. I was scared to death, and then I had to give my next healing to Triland all by myself, scared to death again. And what calmed me was the only word that I'm just going to call you Triland, even though you were Supplanter then, gave me, and then the gentleman, the Holy Spirit, reminded me as I was preparing for this, is we can't screw this up because this is God. God, it's God's energy, it's God's healing, it's God everything, because Satan will work on my insecurities of, am I doing this right, am I doing this wrong, I'm going to screw this up. And that conversation that he has with me, because you're right, it, for me it was doubt and unbelief, but it wasn't because I didn't believe, it's because I didn't want to screw it up. Satan knows just how to hijack me and get me worked up. And so those words were very peaceful and calming to me. So I'm going to share them with you if it's helpful, that you're doing what you need to do to prepare. And you'll prepare yourself for the healing in the way that you've been taught, and the rest is God. You can't screw it up.
Nope.
Right, and I appreciate that, because the devil's really been twisting my spiritual nipples here lately, telling me that I can't. And I know that it's not me anyways. So that's me letting him push me in my own way, essentially. I mean, he's pushing me down so that I trip myself up. It's like, it's ridiculous. So I've been trying really hard to work on understanding that it's not me and that it's Father. I'm just the wrench, essentially, you know, the tool that Father uses to get things done.
That is correct.
Yes.
And I'll also tell everybody that if you're giving a healing and you forget a certain part, and it's too late for you to go back, do not beat yourself up over it, because Father will step in and he'll make sure that everything is taken care of for that person. And perhaps there's a reason why you were supposed to not do that part for that person. Okay? Don't automatically assume that you're a loser and you didn't do something right. All right? Sometimes Father will motivate you and I to not do something because it isn't needed. Okay? I want everybody to not always so gravitate towards the negative and beat yourself up. I appreciate that everybody's policing themselves and paying attention and wanting to do what's right. But like I told Brilliance all those years ago, we can't screw this up. You honestly think Father's going to let you and I hurt somebody? No way. He won't. And if you and I prepare and we do everything we're supposed to do, his grace covers everything. Never forget that. Okay? Anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Okay, on a personal note, I am still unemployed. Yay me. I spoke with a headhunter last week. She submitted me to a contract job. I haven't heard anything. When I nag Father, he basically just looks at me and says, I need you to be patient, boy. I have mastered that, I said. And I'm waiting for money to come in so that I can have some peace. And I know Father will take care of it. Even today we discussed, he looked at me and he goes, no, you do not have to claim bankruptcy. I went, okay, just saying, because there's a lot of debt there. And he went, no, I will take care of this. Okay, fine, great. So I can say that over the last couple of days, even the last week, I've been writing, so I am now almost done with chapter 12. I am talking about I'm with the rivers. That would be Dan Waters.
The rivers.
We're holding a class. Yeah. So got that in the works, so I should be done with up to chapter 12, hopefully by sometime next week when I get back. I will be in Kalamazoo this weekend. I am going to start training Nucleos, get his ball rolling, and then Father told me again today that once his training is complete, then he will let me know who the others are for the team. So I would ask everyone to continue praying for our new teammates. Jesus said to me a couple weeks ago that some on the team will leave me also in the future. And as Father prefaced today, and I'll say it now too, I don't think anybody who's currently here now with me is going to leave. It may be somebody down the road that steps away from us. And again, we hold nothing against anybody. This is a huge responsibility. And we want to be able to trust those people that are standing by our side when the poop hits the fan, and we got to have everybody in play. So I don't have any doubts. I'm not worried about any of you. I have prayed for you every day. I continue to wrestle with Father about many things because I do love you, and I appreciate that I have you guys. And even with me writing the book, I'm reliving some of the beginning moments we shared when I trained you, when we became friends, when all this fell into place. I mean, I look back, it's been 5 years, and HS is allowing me to see and say things verbatim that you and I shared and experienced in that time and the many experiences we had. So,
did you put the Elmo in there?
Pardon?
Did you put the Elmo in there?
The Elmo?
Remember the Elmo?
No, I haven't. I got to put that in there. That's awesome, yes. You know, I might have put that in the first book. I'm going to have to check and see. That's great. I forgot about that. I'm making a note. Hold on a second.
The Elmo we took to church.
You just changed my whole opinion about Elmo in one sentence.
Don't ever buy used toys, okay, demons? Demons possessed can jump into them.
Because I'm a big garage sailor and a big hand-me-down girl. Can we just, you know, pog the poop out of that thing before we bring it in our house?
Yes, you can. You can.
Here you go, Elmo. Here's a little P-O-G for you.
Mm-hmm. Pog often and keep pogging. That's our motto. All right. Anybody have anything else? Our next team meeting will be Friday, May 8th at 5 p.m. Put that in your calendars. And then I would just like to pray with all of you, please. Okay. Father of love, we are thankful for all that you provide for us. We appreciate that you took the time to tell us things, to give us the assurance that you are with us. You made a promise that you will carry us through this entire plan of yours until this task is complete, that we are done, and Jesus' bride is home. That is something, Father, we all wish to be a part of. We all want to help as much as we can. And even in those times, Father, where things come up in our lives and a little bit of unbelief sweeps over our heart, please don't hold that against us. Please know that we will serve you always, that we will give you our hearts and our lives, and whatever you ask of us, Father, we will do. And you already know that. But see the hearts of our teammates here, Father. Many have physical issues they're dealing with. They have financial struggles. They have job problems. The people in their lives and their companies are causing problems for them. We know, Father, that all of this is a training. It is a prepping for ourselves to see into the future, to get ourselves ready with our hearts. And Satan stops at nothing, Father, to queer our day. But we pray, Father, that you will give us the strength that we can see through all of this earthly stuff, and we will see the spiritual side of every situation that we come up against. And instead of swearing or getting angry, that we all just take a deep breath, smile, because you are there helping us through this time. Sometimes we forget, Father, how much you're always watching us. You will never take your eye off of us. You will never let us stand alone. We have nothing to fear because you're there with us. And we know, Father, when it gets to be too much for us, you'll give us the strength to bear it. You'll give us the strength to hold on. And if needed, you'll even send our big brother Jesus to help us lift whatever it is that weighs on us. So, Father, provide for everybody here what they seek in their hearts. We look forward to the weekend, Father, for the service. We ask for a special word. We seek your forgiveness even now for our foolishness and the things we've done wrong. We pray, Father, for Tom and the difficulties he wrestles with, that the apostle will call him when the time is right. We pray, Father, for your peace through the weekend as we train Nucleos, that everything falls into place, that we can have some joy and peace. We trust, Father, in everything that you do. We pray for our leaders in the church that you will open their eyes and their hearts, that you will take away their egos, because there is no place for that, and that all of us can stand and work together in peace and help bring the bride home. If there's something I've forgotten, Father, I know you'll step in and cover it. And as always, I pray according to your will and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for everything, Father. We love you. Amen.
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 Thank you, everyone.